Okay, we have time for two questions from the floor.
Two short ones.
Yeah.
If one is to blame Samir Nakash for writing Arabic Jewish and Muslim, you have to blame me. Because I told him when he started writing,
you speak
our dialect, Jewish one, is going to disappear. And we have to record it. Also, the Muslim dialect is changing all the time. And this is what? And there is another thing. He was not the only one who read, and I, as a publisher of his books, there were many friends of him who wanted to write their PhD and MA, and he used to send the books on his own expense by express, airmail, and PhD teachers who were published. These are things. Anwar Shaul, Mir Basri, Balboon, Abraham Awadiyah, all show themselves as patriotic Iraqis. And they refuse the Muslim dance to leave Iraq after 1951 because they thought that they are themselves, that they are Iraqi, Arab, and Jews. But afterwards, this devotion to Iraq and Allah didn't help them. The Ba'ath came and forced them to go to Israel, and they became very patriotic Israelis.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll respond to the point about Mahmoud, about Samir Nakash. Of course, you know him very well. He's an obstinate person. And I'm going to add something which I didn't say. In Israel, he's well known. I mean, people know that there is such a very talented writer. He was a genius. And people know, and journalists in the Hebrew press often interview him. But the tragedy of this writer is that his text is untranslatable in the first place to any language, Hebrew or any language. No, why? Because if you see a Muslim and a Jew talking to each other and each using his own dialect with its own psychological content, and you say one word, you mean another word in each case. No translator in the world can translate this kind of text into a different language. And this is the tragedy. I know that he is, one of his sisters tried to translate some of his works into Hebrew. It didn't make sense at all. It's readable, I mean, but there's nothing of the richness of life that you find in his Arabic texts.
Okay, if there is one short question, okay.
Just a comment that you about the teaching Arabic in Jewish school in Baghdad. When of course after the First World War, it was still Turkish. In fact, the Alliance Israeli School, which was the most famous school in Baghdad.
No, I claim that my school, Shamash, is the most famous.
mine was that yours. And Shamash. In fact. But the point is that there's a report when Iraq was still under mandate between 1921 and 1932, there used to be reports sent for administration by the mandate to London somewhere. And there was a report on the education failure early on in 1920. And it singles out Alliance Israeli School, who have adopted Arabic as a language teaching language.
Right. Yeah. My mother was born in 1909, and she went to Alliance School in the city of Basra, in the south of Iraq.
Yeah.
And she never learned to read and write Arabic, although she knows Hebrew, French and English very well. Never learned that because at the beginning they didn't introduce the teaching of Arabic to, for example, the girls' schools of the Alliance system. It only was introduced in the 1920s sometime, so she missed it. All her life she died without knowing Arabic, how to read Arabic, although this is her mother tongue. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.